This is Coffee at KYUK, conversation between friends and neighbors. Come in and have a cup.
Good morning. Joining us for the first 5 minutes of coffee is Sam Berlin and John Saltzman talking about river breakup. Good morning.
Good morning, Kaska Kwim. And Lower Yukon communities, great to be back here. As of late yesterday afternoon, so Wednesday the 6th of May, I'm going to start up river, just make it simple and linear here. We flew up to the Swift River, actually above the Swift River, and it found that it was open from Swift River down to near Stony River, and the Stony River was open. Around Stony River, there's local breakup. The islands and the channels are holding ice. Down to Sleetmute, although that might have changed by now, because Sleetmute broke up yesterday afternoon after we left there. So some of this may have changed. The Holitna River had broken up, but it was still holding ice up its channels, you know, as far up as we could see, because original intact ice at the mouth was holding it from flushing out. That also may have changed as of Wednesday afternoon, because Sleetmute broke and that original ice in front of there that was blocking it was no longer blocking the mouth of the Holitna. Maybe this is something to celebrate, but we have no original ice all the way from Sleetmute to near Aniak in the Kuskokwim River anymore. The river is mostly clear to the top of a pretty large ice jam. There's just a lot of ice stranded on the shore in the shallows and along and around the islands. Thankfully, water levels are pretty low everywhere still, so there's not a lot of water pushing downstream into this ice jam. Yesterday morning, the ice started running near Chuath Block, and by afternoon, an approximately 20-mile-long ice jam upstream from Aniak was being held by original ice. That original ice started to run and move slowly late Wednesday afternoon towards Aniak, and when we finished circling was about 200 yards off of the runway at the north end. Aniak Slough is 3/4 of the way open, but there's still hard and intact ice at the mouth, both in the slough and in the Kuskokwim. At Aniak, just below that original sheet that had started moving, there's local breakup occurring, and it started to extend further through the day. And when we left at about 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, was about 1 to 2 bends past the gravel pit. The bends downstream from Aniak, so past Crow Village, through Birch Crossing at Holmberg's, are all still holding original ice, and it's pretty intact with some thermal melting along the edges. And then really there's little change except for thermal breakup in locations mostly off of sloughs like Machivik and Kanak, you know, pretty much all the way from Kalskag to Bethel. So that's what we saw yesterday. We'll go back up this morning to Aniak and take a look and then keep moving upstream, maybe all the way to Stony River again.
Should be a beautiful flight, beautiful day.
We're looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you so much, Sam. You can catch the River Update every morning here on KYUK. And you can catch River Watch today at 1 p.m. We're going to turn it over to Samantha Watson, who's talking with Police Chief Kirkham and Lieutenant Zito about the upcoming Special Olympics. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you, Gabby, for those introductions. Yes, again, I'm here. We're here to talk about the Special Olympics, and I figure a good place to start is, you know, this is about a specific event that's happening in Bethel. It's coming up, and as I understand, it's kind of the first time this event has been back in Bethel. Could you walk us through what's happening on May 16th?
Yeah, on May 16th, the Special Olympics Torch Run is returning to Bethel. And talking to folks around here, nobody really recalls the last time it was done. However, the chief and I, we were recently talking about bringing this back to Bethel, and he had actually found the Special Olympics torch in a closet at Bethel PD. So it's occurred here at some point. If anybody has information on when it last happened, I'd love to know. But it's going to be hosted on the 16th here. We're going to start at the Bethel Fire Department Station in the parking lot, and then the course is going to go up to public health. So it's going to go up to public health just to the first entrance, and then turn around and go back to Bethel Fire. There'll be a barbecue afterwards. Folks that sign up for the run, and there's postings around town, flyers, there's stuff online. The city of Bethel put it on their website. Folks can sign up and get a t-shirt out of it. We have a sponsor this year, Donlin, sponsoring it along with GCI and Global, and maybe some other local entities here. But we're excited. We've got a bunch of kids from LKSD that are going to be participating, other community sponsors and partners. Chief?
And we appreciate all the sponsors that helped with this event, because without their help, it wouldn't have taken place. So I want to make sure that all the donors know that everything that they put towards this goes for the event and the kids through the National Organization for Special Olympics.
That's right. And with this, you know, why was this important to bring back? You know, why bring something like this back that's been gone for so long?
So this is a statewide event that happens every year on this day around the state. It really helps this group of individuals kind of to get out, to get into these events, and to really assist them with bonding and helping them get into these Special Olympic events around the state. And without funding, they just... it'd be near impossible to travel from Western Alaska or other communities. But a little thing from the flyer. So this inclusive 5K supports athletes with intellectual disabilities and fuels local sports programs that change lives. It's perfect for friends, families, and businesses. Everyone's welcome to attend, and the more the merrier. We're hoping the weather's good on that day, so we will see.
And yeah, with your, as you said, so some of the money raised goes directly back into supporting those kids in this programming throughout the state.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
So it's a great event for law enforcement to do public outreach for the community and support those members that maybe might not be recognized in other programs. So it's really fantastic for that. Also, along with that particular week is National Police Week. And we'll be honoring, during that, there's 363 more names added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial this year. That's 109 from 2025. And that brings about 25,000 law enforcement officers in the United States that have lost their lives in the line of duty since the year 1789. Mm-hmm. And so as part of that, we're going to be doing some outreach with the community at AC Market. We'll have a table on Wednesday that week. And then Thursday, Friday, we'll have one at Swanson's Market. So we're doing some Coffee with Cop outreach that week. Mm-hmm. And the following week, then in Anchorage, the state has their memorial service for fallen officers as well. And I think Lieutenant Zito has some information for one of our own that we lost here decades ago. He was the chief for Bethel Police Department, and so I'm going to have him talk about that, and I'm glad he has that information for us.
And he's being honored on that list.
Yes.
And before you get to that, the Coffee with the Cop event, is that folks can just kind of come and talk at your tables?
Yeah, if they have, we've done this before with outreach, so if they have issues or things they want to bring up with the community. I know currently there's some issues related to you know, some violent events that happened in the community, and you know, if they have questions about that, what we can do is provide some information about those events that maybe would address some things. Facebook is good for information, but it's also bad for information because a lot of things get put on there that aren't true, or things that feed rumors and innuendos, things that aren't actually going on. And so that sometimes, you know, while it's good for us to be able to access that and have information from it, it also provides a lot of misinformation that hurts the investigation, something that we go through.
Great. So that's upcoming. Could you, just before we move on, could you remind me of the dates of that so folks can
those tabling events? The particular date is Wednesday the 13th, we'll be at AC Market. And then Friday, which will be the 15th, will be at Swanson's.
Okay, great. I want to go to Zito here with some information on, you said it was, I'll just let you explain, yeah.
Yeah, so on Sunday, November 19th, 1972, Bethel Police Chief Thomas Dillon was shot and killed in a, looks like a gun battle, where some shots were exchanged after a local robbery or holdup at a cab company. He subsequently died as a result of those gunshots, and that's just somebody local that we're going to honor here locally. Quite honestly, I had no idea about this individual until recently. So
we do have a plaque in the police department related to his name, and also when you go to the memorial, you're allowed to take a rubbing of their name, and we have that framed in the police department. And so this year we're going to be looking to install a flagpole in the front of the police department, and we'll have a memorial plaque to Chief Dillon.
Wow. And where is that the big memorial? Where did you say that was again?
It's in Anchorage. It's at their crime lab, and it's quite a big event, and I'll be attending that. It's on the 20th.
Wow. Well, that's exciting that a piece of that will be coming here in a way locally to kind of honor that individual. Wonderful. And I know in our last few minutes here, there's so much to pack in.
There is. So I have one thing that the city council talked about, an ordinance related to ATVs. And so I want to get out some information that the vote for that basically is going to maintain that Bethel is going to follow state law, which is that people using an ATV on our streets are going to be required to have license, registration, insurance. They also have to have a helmet. And they have to make sure the vehicle that they're operating is made for the amount of passengers that they're carrying. And so we've had just last week, we had an incident where a lady was driving one and rolled it and broke her arm. So there's things that people are doing out there that we're going to start enforcing more strictly. So our partners with the troopers will also be enforcing when they see those violations. And if they don't have the time, call us. We'll come over and help them and do those citations. But we are going to be enforcing that. We need to get the word out to the villages that if they come into Bethel and they operate on the roadway, which they're supposed to be, we're not going to allow them to drive on the shoulder anymore. They're required to operate on the roadway and have those things, license, registration, insurance. So we want to get that word out before we go and all of a sudden, I didn't understand this, and so we want to make sure that we have this out. We'll be doing a number of these public announcements related to that.
Absolutely, and I know, you know, a piece of that is to enforce safety, and I know that spring here is a time where there's just kind of a lot more variables at play. Is there any other safety information that's important to get out right now to remind folks as we kind of, as you know, as we just heard, we're entering breakup and heading into the summer season?
Yeah, so this time of year, I know everybody's antsy to get out on the river, get out on boats. So this is a good reminder to make sure they have a throwable life jacket or a throwable PFD, that there's enough life jackets on board for everybody, that folks are wearing them and using them. Folks are operating boats sober. That tends to be a big issue when we deal with boating collisions out here. We want to make sure everybody's safe this summer. So everybody has the appropriate safety gear, and they get out there, have fun, especially it's bird hunting season. But also wait until the ice goes by so we don't have folks stranded if they're trying to get across the river during breakup here.
Great. Well, before we wrap up, could I have you maybe speed run through the information about this torch run again so folks know where to sign up and where to meet?
Yep. So Saturday, May 16th, we're going to meet at the fire station, Bethel Fire Station, a little before 10 a.m. The run, walk, jog. Starts promptly at 10. We're going to go up to public health, turn around, and then come back and hit the finish line. There'll be a barbecue. Folks can go online and register at Special Olympics Alaska Torch Run. If they go to the City of Bethel website, there's a flyer on there with a QR code. They can sign up that way. Or if folks just show up, you can sign up at the table, and we hope to have a lot of fun.
Great. Well, exciting to see this event return to Bethel. Wonderful. And thank you both so much for coming on this morning.
Thank you for having
us.
That was KYUK's Samantha Watson speaking with Police Chief Kirkham and Lieutenant Zito.
This is Coffee at KYUK.